came back Friday night and cannot get my printer to work, so I couldn't even print out my notes. So I'm going to use my laptop here. So take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. What I want to do tonight, and I am not planning to finish all of this, really just kind of introduce it and begin to dive into it, and hopefully in future Sunday nights finish this. But again, this is a series on eternal security and assurance of salvation. And there were a number of verses that were given to me as proofs that eternal security is not biblical. And so I wanted to try and go through some of these and examine them in the light of Scripture and see if, in fact, these verses do disprove eternal security. And I think by now you know that my understanding of Scripture is that when a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that Christ's righteousness is charged to our account, and our sins are charged to Jesus' account. And we are therefore born again. We are regenerated. We are adopted into God's family. And you cannot lose that. If you're a child of God, you may stray from Him. You may disobey and rebel. God may chasten. But you can't lose that relationship. Eternal life is, in fact, that. It's eternal life. How many times does a person need to be born physically in order to have physical life? Once. You know, sometimes people have said, when you ask them if they've trusted Christ, I've done that many times. I pray every night. Have you ever heard that? Yes, you have. They say, well, how many birthdays do you have? If you said I was born August 14th and September 9th and June 5th and December 14th, and you said, well, yeah, you can't be born 5 times, 8 times, 9 times, 9 birthdays? No, just once. People might quickly say, well, yeah, but you can also lose that physical life. But see, that's the big difference. We're talking about eternal life. How many times does a person need to be born spiritually to have eternal life? Once. You must be born again and again and again. No, it's not what Jesus said, right? You must be born again in order to receive eternal life, and that life is forever. All right, but now we look at some verses here. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa, this is the prophet. And Asa is the king of the southern kingdom, Judah. And he said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. And so this verse has been used then to prove that, you know, at some point if you forsake God, then He's done with you. And you've just lost your salvation. But first of all, does this verse have anything to do with salvation? No. In fact, if we read the chapter before, Asa has determined to follow God with all of his heart. And he begins to strengthen his kingdom and his defenses and his military. And this is a red flag for Zerah of the Ethiopians. And he comes forward from the south with a 1,000,000-man army. And this is very intimidating for Asa. He does not have the resources to defeat this foe. And so he turns to God. And God says, okay, wonderful. I will help you. And so Asa, with his much smaller army, with less resources, fights this million-man army from the south, a scourge of the south, and they win. And it's an incredible victory. And in fact, they chase them all the way back. They pretty much decimate the army. They'll never have to worry about this king, this army again. And all along the way, they're getting all the spoils from this. And not only are they defeating Zerah and his army, but they're defeating all of the enemy cities and villages along the way that have joined forces with them on their very borders there. And now their kingdom is far more secure. The people are much wealthier as a result. And now they have peace. And in the midst of all of this hoopla and great and prosperity and security, the reminder goes forth. Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. And so here's a warning. In the midst of their prosperity, don't forget God. Is that a temptation, by the way? When things are going great? By the way, do you need God when things are going great? Yes, you do! You need God just as much when things are going great as when things are not going so great. Yet it's when things are not going so great that we're actually aware of the fact that we need him. By the way, notice in verses 12 and 13. And they entered into a covenant, this is Asa and the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great. And what you have here in this passage are even people coming down from the northern kingdom and joining the southern kingdom because they wanted God. True worship of God. And so it was all throughout Israel's history, whether it be the southern kingdom or the northern kingdom, when God's people sought the Lord and trusted him, they were blessed. And when they rejected the Lord and went their own way and were selfish in their pursuits, or maybe even wicked in their choices, did God bless them then? No. By the way, that would be the most hurtful thing God could do, right? To bless you in your sinful choices? That would encourage you down this path of destruction. You see, life is just not worth living apart from God. So why would God ever encourage us on paths that lead us away from him? And this is a reminder. I will bless you if you're on the right path. I will judge you if you're on the wrong path. By the way, there were times, unfortunately, right, when God's people decided to forsake him. And judgment followed. By the way, so has God completely rejected Israel forever because they forsook him? No, he hasn't, has he? In fact, don't the scriptures tell us that there's going to be a day when he's going to return and restore the people? Fortunately, Israel's seeking him right now, right? No, they're not. You know what they're doing? They're seeking the U.S. They're seeking military might. They're seeking economic prosperity. They're seeking international alliances, but not so much God. But you know what? God's not rejected them forever. There are times when a Christian may forsake God, reject him. But even if we deny him, he does not deny us. In fact, let's move now to the New Testament, this concept of seeking. If Our salvation is dependent upon my seeking God, then I'm in big trouble. What does Romans chapter 3 and verse 11 teach? There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. How many of us left to ourselves would seek after God? None of us. Ultimately, we find God because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Actually, we find out that Jesus is the one doing the seeking. Jesus was prepared to search for one lost sheep, or one wayward child, or one lost coin in Luke chapter 15. Yes, there is a responsibility that we find in our own hearts, our own parts. Seek, and ye shall find. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, there is a response that I must make to this, but it's not me that started it. And I don't understand at all how it all works in God's infinite wisdom. But I do know this. Long before I ever thought about Him, He made plans to redeem me. He sought me. He bought me. He created me. He loves me. Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." And I love how the writer of Hebrews leaves that expression. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That could simply mean to believe that God exists. But I think it's more than that. I think this is a wonderful reminder to us of the great I Am. He is, I Am, the ever-present One. In fact, you could almost think of it as He is blank. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is ever-present. He is the door. He is the living water. He is the resurrection, the life. You must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." By the way, I don't believe this has anything to do with salvation per se. I think this is for the child of God, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Can we as children of God displease God? Oh my. In fact, the very next chapter in Hebrews, God chastens His children. So, we find that the only way I please God is to act in faith. To trust. To believe. There's that faith. To believe that He is, and then you fill in the blank, that God is able to take care of whatever it is that you're facing. And to believe, to have faith, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so your lack of seeking Him does not end in loss of salvation, but in loss of reward. Loss of opportunity. Loss of blessing. And that's what's told to Asa here. Seek me. Seek me. I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. I'm just going to stop right here tonight, but let me pose this question to you and read this verse one more time. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." What does that mean, by the way? So any time that we are worried, is that faith? Yeah. How about when we're angry? Is that faith? No. In fact, any time we sin, that's not faith, is it? Can you please God at all without faith? What does the Bible say? It is impossible. This is why, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a child. This promise is for you. If you're a teenager, this promise is for you. If you're an adult, this promise is for you. Why is it that God continually puts us into spots where we cannot provide for our own escape? Where we can't meet those needs? Because it forces us to trust, to have faith in Him. And this is why God always allows the boat to be full of water and sinking when He stands up and says, "Peace. Be still." God brings us to the end of ourselves so that we have nowhere else to turn but Him. Oh, that pleases our Lord. Because as we put our trust in Him and see Him act in our behalf and see His love for us, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And when we experience that love, our love increases. If we're going to come to God, we must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So my question tonight is this. Are you diligently seeking Him? Or do you have your life all mapped out and you'll let God know if you need Him? You know, a pretty good deal. I mean, you grew up in a Christian home. You went to a good church. I mean, you pretty much know everything there is to know about God. Oh my, no. You will never plumb the depths of God's Word fully. There's always more to discover. There's always new facets of that beautiful, precious stone. The wonderful character of our God. That infinite one who loves you with an everlasting love, who will never let His child go. Oh, that we might diligently seek Him. Praise Him for those difficult times in your life, because He's just encouraging you to seek Him. Let's pray.